PNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. We're live in the studio, and my co-host today is Mark Beecham. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to be talking to Jay Fox, who's here. And Jay is someone that I met through my Record Searchlight blog. Well, we started kind of chit-chatting a little bit through online. And slowly he joined our Weston A. Price Foundation, which is a nutrition foundation that we meet six times a year. And he is a bread maker. And so I want to welcome you to the show, Jay.
Well, thank you, Trudy.
Yeah,
Thanks for having me. Nice to
have you here. And I want to start by go ahead and explain to the listeners, you know, you started as a bread maker, but you were mostly trying to just kind of cut your own personal costs, right? Is that pretty much how you got started?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. You know, everybody likes fresh bread rather than the store-bought stuff. It's always nice when it's warm and steamy and all that. But my main goal when I started out was just to duplicate what I could get in the stores for less money.
Okay. And then what is it that you were buying, or what were you trying to get, like honey in your bread, or did you have an allergy, or what were you?
Yeah, I was trying to get away from the high fructose corn syrup that most of the bread manufacturers use for sweetening their products, and so I started out making bread using honey as a sweetener.
Okay. And then is that when you got into bread machines or bread machine bread, or kind of going through the process of how you became the super duper bread maker that you are today? Just kind of getting a backstory here.
Yeah, well, it actually did start out with the bread machines. When those things first came out, I was fascinated with that. My mother did not make bread, and so we never had fresh bread in the house growing up. And so I saw the bread machines as a way to learn how to make bread and get started in it.
Okay. And then, so you became a bread machine bread maker. Is that kind of?
Pretty much, yeah. That's how I started out.
Okay. And then where did it go from there?
Well, it went from there. I went through a number of machines, obviously. And the first thing I did was start taking that little paddle out of the bottom of the machine so I wouldn't have that giant hole in the middle of the loaf of bread.
Ah, okay.
But I was still baking the bread in the machine. And then I got the bright idea, well, just use the bread machine to mix the dough and then put it in a regular bread pan and rise that separately and bake that, and you'd have a loaf of bread that looked like what you bought in the store.
Okay, versus that kind of tall sort of...
Right, with a big hole in the bottom.
Okay, okay, and then what?
And, well, then I met you and started going to the Weston Price Foundation meetings and learned that there's a different way to make bread.
Okay, which is?
Which is actually soaking the grains first to release the nutrition that is inherent in the grains and then make the bread from there. It turns into a two-day process, what used to be a three-hour process.
Is that a good thing, or was that overwhelming, or were you...
Well, there was a lot of little details to work out. Once you start soaking your flour overnight... properties change, and it becomes different to work with, and so you have to make adjustments. There was a lot of, well, my wife and I ate a lot of stuff that looked like bread, but really wasn't.
Okay. And then, so there you are, you're kind of in the experimentation phase. You're going from a bread making, almost like a bread mix guy. Not really, though, right? You were using...
I was using all raw ingredients.
Okay. And then you started reading all the Weston Price, the Nourishing Traditions book. They teach you to start soaking these grains to liberate the nutrients. And then you start this whole world of, you know, take us through the trials of that then.
Well, the first thing was is when you read the Nourishing Traditions cookbook, they tell you that when you soak your grains, you want to soak them in a slightly acidic condition with no other ingredients present. And so the trick that for a bread maker is to do that and then somehow get all of the ingredients that you want in that loaf of bread into that mix before it comes time to bake it.
How do you do that? I mean, what is that? Sounds like a challenge.
It was a tremendous challenge. And what I ended up doing was I'd have to split the dough into two separate pieces, one which was much drier than the other, and another which was quite a bit looser, and soak those both separately. And then on baking day, you have to combine those two with all your other ingredients, like your yeast and your honey. And if you're making something like pumpernickel, you've got seeds and cocoa and molasses that all have to get mixed in the final mix. And that's where it gets very labor intensive. And I learned very quickly that a bread machine is not up to the task.
Well, we're going to learn why that's true when we come back. We're talking to Jay Fox, Reading bread maker. And I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. You're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Here's another energy savings tip from Reading Electric Utility, REU. Your old incandescent lights can consume 30 to 40% more energy than more efficient CFLs or LEDs, which are cooler, more efficient, and last a lot longer. Investment today reaps big dollar savings into the future. For more energy saving tips, visit us at reupower.com or call us at 339-7300. REU, together we can save energy.
Realtors have expertise in land development and management, retail, industrial, office, and investment properties. They have the experience, knowledge, and savvy to help you achieve your business and investment real estate goals. Realtors also have the power of the National Association of Realtors behind them, working with legislators and regulators to support the key role commercial real estate plays in our national economy. Ask for a professional who understands your commercial business. Ask for a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy today. We're talking with Jay Fox, Reading bread maker. Welcome back, Jay.
Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah, and my co-host today, Mark Beecham. And so we are just chit-chatting here about the history of getting going in your, in the bread world and you becoming this bread maker who's kind of in a transition. You have excelled at bread. We haven't really gotten there in our story yet. And you're thinking about really turning it into a business. And so before we get to that spot, I want to kind of back up. You were telling us about the trials and tribulations of going from a bread machine baker to really learning the grains, the soaking principles of the Weston Price approach. And where are we now?
Tell us a little bit about some of the failures you had.
Oh, wow. Well,
you see those pictures, you know, of NASA, the rockets going up and exploding all over the place. So.
Right. Well, in the beginning, there was a lot of learning that had to be done about the proper consistency of the dough before you make the final rise and put it in the oven. And, during that learning process, there was quite a few loaves that either would rise up and then collapse back down and you end up with this horseshoe shaped thing or loaves that would rise up and continue to rise and you think it looks really good and you go ahead and you bake it and you cut the thing open and the middle is just air. One big, huge hole down the whole middle of the loaf.
What caused that? Did you ever determine that?
If the dough is too wet, you'll get something that collapses like that. And if you let it rise too long when it's too wet, you can end up with a big hole in the middle. If it's just a little bit too wet. And so getting it the right consistency, what I found is very important.
So bread making is this big sort of chemical experiment, I guess.
It is, yes. It's a science project every time.
And then you were telling us how you soaked the grains and you had to add the dry with the wet, and it's a day and a half, or did you say 2-day process?
It's a 2-day process.
It's a 2-day process.
Yeah, you make that dough one morning and then you make the bread the next.
Okay, and so you let us learn a little bit that you make pumpernickel bread. What else are you making?
I make a spelt and whole wheat blend that is what I started with. I wanted to get rid of the white flour, because as you read in all these publications and all that, the white flour has pretty much had all the nutrition taken out of it to make it white and pretty. It makes a wonderfully nice loaf of Wonder Bread, but
why do they call it Wonder Bread?
I wonder how you can survive on that.
Oh, and so then what? As far as you have then created this, you have the spelt whole wheat, and you have the pumpernickel.
Right, right. I'm working on working with some more rye and barley flours.
Okay. And so you learned that this whole wheat, I mean, you learned the white wasn't good, and the whole wheat what? What was it that you're upping your nutrients, basically?
Right, basically okay. Trying to increase the protein. Well, my wife has a problem with some certain allergies, and so we were looking for where we could get more protein from.
Okay.
And so, okay, well, if we stoke the bread full of protein, then we don't have to worry about not being able to eat certain things.
I see. Okay. So this is to try to fill a nutritional need at your house.
That's pretty much how it started, yes. Yes. And spelt is a higher protein grain that costs a little bit more because the yield is lower. So the farmer, in order to make his money, charges a little bit more for it. But it's really high in protein. And so that's what I wanted to use.
You mentioned one of your quests was to get away from corn. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I have a corn allergy that when I was little, we used to be near a cornfield, and every spring when that corn would come into pollen, I would have serious problems, and we eventually ended up having to move because of that. You know, you can't tell the farmer not to grow his corn. You know, he was there first, so we had to move away from the cornfields. And I was fine with that up until right around the mid, early 90s. And all of a sudden, my body just revolted in any kind of corn product at all. And I end up with some serious GI problems.
Okay.
That's a challenge, because corn is almost everywhere in food today, isn't it?
It pretty much is. I am a label reader when I go into the store. And you wouldn't believe how much stuff I put back on the shelves.
And corn shows up in bread, too, I guess, right?
Yes. A lot of manufacturers these days are using high fructose corn syrup as a sweetener in the bread, I guess because it's inexpensive compared to some of the other sweeteners like molasses or honey. And those are two of the main sweeteners that I'm using in my breads, is molasses and honey, because I can eat them.
Very good.
How much sweetener goes into a loaf of bread?
My spelt bread uses a quarter of a cup of honey in each loaf.
Oh, my. That's a lot.
It is. It's quite a bit.
So that's an expense that you have to incur.
That's true. That's true. And honey, as you know, is not one of the cheapest ingredients you can find out there.
So you have two types of bread, and you've been working hard to create these two types. You might explore further into other breads, but you've given a lot of bread away. What's the response from people?
It's been crazy good. I've been really surprised. People are really, really enjoying this bread. I sample it out to people, you know, what do you think of this? Here, try some of this and tell me what you think. And when I hear back from them, they're like, wow, I can eat all that all I want, and I don't even feel bloated. And, boy, that bread kept for 3 weeks in my refrigerator. Really? You know, I know that it'll keep a week on my countertop because we make it last that long sometimes. Although it's hard to make it last that long sometimes in my house. Everybody has learned that you can eat all you want and not really gain much weight, and so it goes quick.
And then why is that? No one's ever really heard anyone say you can eat all you want and not gain weight. Hold on a minute.
Well, the reason is when you soak the grains, the nutrients become more available, and the digestion happens at the proper time in your body. Without soaking the grains, a lot of the bread moves through your digestive tract undigested, where then it begins to ferment and turn into alcohol and sugars. And that alcohol and those sugars, the body's not sure what to do with them, so it just stores them. If the bread is digested early on in the process, it is treated much like a proper carbohydrate and is converted directly into energy. And so when you eat, like this morning I had waffles made from soaked grains, and you eat one of those, and you're good to go till well after lunch. You know, I'm full of energy and ready to go all morning long. If I made it just from scratch right before I poured it into the waffle iron and all that, 2 or 3 hours later, I'm hungry again.
Hmm. Very good. Okay. So when you're saying you can eat bread all day, you're saying you just don't even really need to eat all day.
Right.
You ate as much as you wanted.
You eat as much as you want, and you're not afraid to it.
Yeah. You're just powerhousing until your next, you know, meal several hours from now.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic information. We're talking with Jay Fox, Reading bread maker, and this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, we welcome geoengineering researcher Dane Wigington and filmmaker George Barnes. Dane and George have new quantifiable information about what's going on in our skies, including raw data on the massive UV levels we're now being exposed to. They'll also talk about four pilots that have gone on the record regarding geoengineering. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and I'm here with Joe Adamson from Adamson's Peak Performance. Joe, you're coming into your 20th year anniversary. What makes your gym so unique and special?
Results, customer service, safe, time-efficient, fun workouts. We are a friendly gym, super clean. We're the gym where everyone knows your name, and we never stop coming up with cool stuff.
That's why you're my gym of choice. Adamson's Peak Performance on Bocelli, next to Yak's. See you there.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. We're talking with Reading bread maker Jay Fox, and welcome back, Jay.
Hi.
Yeah, we have our co-host Mark Beecham here. Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, you know, what we've learned in this last segment is that, first of all, Jay makes an unreal loaf of bread, and he's right at this place where he's thinking about starting a business because he's given so much bread away and so many people are giving him positive feedback. He's just kind of right at the decision-making process. Is that right?
That's pretty much where I stand right now, yeah.
And if you were to use maybe, let's say, the homemade food act, you know, our bake at home concept. I mean, how many loaves do you think you could make in a day? Can you make 10 loaves or can you make?
Well, right now, because I'm having to do this all by hand, I'm limited to 8 to 10 loaves a day is about the most I can do. And that's working all day long.
Okay. And then, in the baking part, I mean, there's so much that goes into the prep before you even just turn your oven on.
Oh, the
right?
Baking part's easy.
The oven does the work there.
Right.
Okay. And so what is it that you're seeing as your biggest obstacle to actually, you know, we're all putting pressure on you, which is why I dragged you on the show. Come on, Jay. And so what is it that is nerve-wracking? Or I know you haven't done totally all your homework on it, but what, like, you, supplies? Is it, what is it that you are?
Well, of course the regulatory process is a little bit intimidating because you hear nothing but horror stories, but I'm sure that is easy enough to do. Ramping up to some kind of a production is going to require some kind of acquisition of equipment.
Okay, equipment. Like what?
Well, if you wanted to, for instance, if you wanted to make 25 loaves in a day, you would need 25 bread pans, and you would need 25 vessels in order to rise that bread in, separate from those bread pans.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
And plus an oven that would handle that many loaves of bread.
So a commercial kitchen would be required after you reach a certain point, I assume.
Right, right. After you, to go from 8 loaves a day to something more than that, I would need a commercial kitchen with a commercial mixer. Cause right now I'm mixing the dough by hand. And if I wanted to do, you know, 20 loaves in a day, that would be
more. Carpal tunnel syndrome, probably.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a lot of work.
Okay, so then what about the flour? Where do you get the flour right now?
Well, right now I'm getting my flour from Moore's Mill, and I'm paying retail for it.
Okay.
So I'd like to find get some licensing and get a wholesale resale license.
And you're buying their sprouted flour, right? Or some of it sprouted or not sprouted?
No,
or?
Actually, I do get some sprouted whole wheat flour from Orchard Nutrition.
Oh, okay.
But the flour that I'm getting from Moore's is just straight flour.
Okay. So then, because the sprouted stuff's more expensive, right?
It's very much more expensive.
Okay. So you wouldn't need that because you're going to do all this soaking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Which, sprouted and soaking are very closely related. When you're talking about sprouted wheat, what you're talking about is they take the whole wheat berries and they basically sprout them and, you know, put them in a moist area. And when the seed sprouts and starts to develop, the seed actually manufactures more protein.
Okay.
And so a sprouted wheat has almost double the protein in it compared to wheat that hasn't been sprouted. Of course, if you bake it in the conventional way, then you're losing some of that nutrition because it's, you know, that is a soaked grain, but you're probably mixing it with something else that isn't. And so, cause, you know, like I say, that sprouted wheat is very expensive, but the person that sprouts their own wheat, that we were talking to one of the people at Weston Price who actually does that. He sprouts his own wheat and makes his bread from that. That's very high protein bread that's quite digestible because the sprouting process is essentially soaking the grain. If that's all you use, you've got a soaked grain bread.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got a lot. I mean, to turn this from a hobby or a passion into a business, you've got a lot of questions to answer. You got to get a handle on your wholesale costs, drive those as low as you possibly can. You got to figure out how to retail the product or distribute the product, how to market the product. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, and that is some of the stuff that kind of scares me at this point because I don't have any experience in all that. I have been asking around, and Trudy's been helping me with some contacts to point me in the right direction with the people to talk to about these things. But it's a process in itself.
Where do you buy things like bread twisties or bags or, I don't know, is that easy to get? Or?
Cash and Carry is a good source for a lot of that stuff. I get the bags that I'm using right now from Cash and Carry, and I'm not sure about the twisties. I didn't see any there, but I'm sure they could get them. They are a restaurant and food service supply store.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you. You know, this is a big deal, and it sounds like, I mean, your interest mostly is in going to the next step, right?
Yes, it is.
It's just that this is the scary part for you. Yeah, some people can't figure out their product. They know they want to sell something,
mm-hmm.
and you have figured out your product, but you're kind of like, oh, now what do I do? I don't want to mess this up.
Yeah, well, there's several major hurdles between, you know, where I am now and where I'd like to be in a year. And I just need, you know, to figure out how to get over them.
Mark?
Well, good luck. It's a big jump.
Well, thank you.
And I think the hard part's over. I'm just like, let's get her done here. You know, the hard part is coming up with a product that everybody wants, and it seems to me like you've done that part. So now it's just kind of figuring out the procedure. this than that than this, and people can come over and buy it at your house if they want to, without a store. So
that would be nice.
Yeah. So thanks for coming on today, and I totally appreciate all the information.
Well, thank you, Trudy.
Yeah. This is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Spring Water. Did you know our spring water originates from glaciers high atop Mount Shasta? As they melt, the water flows through miles of volcanic rock to our springs at the base of the mountain. Pure and natural, Mount Shasta Spring Water is naturally the best and the official water of the United States of America. Give us a call today and ask about our special introductory offer. 1-800-922-6227. That's 1-800-922-6227. I highly recommend it.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli featuring no nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition Experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. Well, in our second half here of the segment, we're moving to India Gage from Chico. Are you with us, my dear?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, yay. Hi. Well, welcome to the show today. And India has a company in Chico, which is Mama Sattva Ghee. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's right. Mama Sattva.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And so a lot of people just don't know what ghee is. Or can you tell us what it is?
Yeah. Ghee is clarified butter. It's completely lactose-free, casein-free. All of the protein solids have been removed, and the water gets evaporated out of it. So it's considered a non-dairy, pure, stable cooking oil. And the USDA categorizes it as non-dairy, which is surprises a lot of people since it starts with butter.
Right. It starts with a cow, you know, so it is very bizarre. When you mentioned that earlier at our Weston Price meeting, I was in shock that the product could ultimately end up being non-dairy.
Yeah.
I know. And so why would anybody want to be eating this product?
Well, butter is energetically cold and heavy and what they call has a downward energy, a descending energy because of the dairy in it. It makes it very heavy and more difficult for the body to handle and digest. So ghee, once it's been clarified and all of the lactose and protein solids have been taken out, it becomes light and very pure, and it actually works as a cleansing oil in the body. So it'll help cleanse the liver and actually grab toxins, helps loosen toxins in the body and flush them out. So it's very healing, and it's been considered a sacred healing oil in India and Tibet for thousands of years.
Oh, my
God. And they'll
gosh.
Use it. Yeah, they'll use it. If you were to go there and get a treatment, you would wake up in the morning and they'd give you a shot of a couple ounces of ghee and liquefied ghee, and you'd drink it. And that would help start working on the liver and help cleansing out the bloodstream.
And what is the average amount of ghee you recommend we all eat per day to be healthy?
It's recommended to have 2 teaspoons a day to get some additional benefits from the ghee. So you can take, you know, 1 teaspoon in the morning, 1 in the evening. But if you cook with it, you're getting, you know, you're going to use at least 1 teaspoon when you're cooking, depending on what you're making. But really, for I have a khichdi recipe on my website, and the key to that is just to keep adding ghee as you're cooking it, because it helps release all the properties of the foods and vegetables. And once those are released, also when you're taking the ghee in, it's reducing inflammation in the colon, so you're able to absorb that nutrition better.
Besides the nutritional benefits of the ghee, as a cooking oil, is that a higher temperature you can cook at than a lot of other?
Yeah, it's actually incredibly stable. It has a 485-degree smoke point is what they put on it. So you can put it in the oven, you know, as a glaze over meats, or if you want to use it on fish, you can also bake with it. But it's just super amazing to fry, saute, or anytime you need an oil, it can handle the really high temps. It's not going to burn up to 485 degrees.
Is this the cooking oil of choice in India then?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Is this the cooking oil of choice in India?
Yeah, predominantly. And a lot of it now is being made with buffalo, water buffalo, because it's more available, I guess, is what I've heard. But it's the ghee that's coming from cow butter, it's still more desired, and you know, it's more expensive, more valued for sure.
And how is it that you got into making ghee?
Well, I got into making ghee as a yogi, and hearing that it was calming to the mind. I was in an intense meditation practice at the time, and it was recommended to me to not only eat the ghee, but to also start making it as a practice. And so once I started cooking it, then I realized how exciting it was to turn this butter into liquid gold and sit with it. And it, you know, it makes different sounds when it's cooking, and you have to be really quiet and pay really close attention to it. So it becomes a meditation in itself to make it. And then once I aged it, I read a quote in an ancient text by Saraka Shambhita, a Vedic scholar, who said 10-year aged ghee is the miracle cure for any ailment. And I thought that was a pretty bold statement to make, but I thought, well, you know, the ancients said that for a reason, so I'll try it. And I aged some for 2 years. I had to tape it shut and put a note on it to myself, do not open. I wanted to go for 10 years, but after 2 years, I couldn't contain myself any longer and opened it up, and it was very, very light and very amazing. It was like churned gold, very fluffy. And so then that's what got me really excited into making it, you know, as a business that I want. I see it as future medicine. Besides the cooking and delicious aspect of it, it's also very healing.
What's the process? And you take what and you turn it into ghee by doing what to it?
Well, I take, I buy big blocks of butter, 30 pounds at a time, and I'll take 8 of those so I can put 240 pounds into my kettle, and that slowly, it takes a long time just to get that to melt, because we keep the temperature so incredibly low. The temp never goes over, the butter can never go over 118 degrees, which once it's clarified into an oil, it's still very, very low, and oil just keeps getting hotter and hotter. So that's the big important thing, is that the temperature stays low. And the reason that is because I want to keep the enzymes in the cultures all folded up. It makes it much better for digestion. It makes it taste better as well. And the butyric acid in there, they say that if that's heated too high, you're stripping the nutritional content out. So I'm really careful to keep the temperature low while I do it. It takes about 15 to 17 hours per batch. And then the butter, when it melts, it'll naturally separate. The solids will sink to the bottom, and some rise up to the top. And so you scrape that off, and then you drain off the bottom. And I do a three-stage clarifying process. I'll take that oil, and I'll filter it through twice. It filters through basically like a flour sack towel or a muslin cloth kind of filter, and then that gets all the solids out. And then the final step is just letting it continue to heat real slowly to remove all the water, and then the water evaporates out as well. So you're left with just a pure golden butter oil that can then age endlessly. But if you do it at home, it's difficult to get all the water out and keep that temperature low. There's many ways you can do it. Just right on your oven top, just set it on there, not in the oven, but just let it warm there. If you do want to age it, you have to get all the moisture out.
So if you take, let's say, a pound of butter, and you do this at home, it's going to take how many hours, and then you're going to be left with how many ounces of ghee?
Well, if you wanted to just do it at home, you don't have to be quite so careful, I'd say, especially if you're going to use it up, quickly. But take a pound, and you're going to get 13 ounces, roughly, out of a pound of butter. So you lose about 3 ounces. And you can try, for your first time, to keep the flame on low. And if you want to be really exact about keeping the temperature down, it gets over 118 very quickly with the flame. That's why I said if you turn your oven on and you put it in like a casserole dish, let it sit on your hot oven top. But these days you could probably just about put it outside with the heat so high. But
no kidding.
Basically, it's just real low and for a long period of time, like overnight. And then when you come back in the morning, it'll be completely separated out. And you can pour that through a flour sack towel and clean out your pan, put it back in there, and then let it sit, for another few hours just to evaporate the water out. And you want to make sure that you let it cool before you pour it in your jar, because you don't want that to condense and then, trap water inside.
So it's a process that would take on the order of a day and a half, maybe?
Yeah, technically, and that's actually how the ancients did it, where they would just let it sit, and it would, and it's important that you use cultured butter. And traditionally, they would take the cream and squeeze a lime into it, cover it, and let it sit overnight, and then the next morning, they would churn that into butter, and that would be their culture. That's how they made the culture in the butter.
Wow. Hey, India, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're going to come back after we do a couple of commercials, and we're going to keep asking you questions like, where do you get your butter? So this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to KCNR's Positively Healthy. We'll be right back.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com.
Yeah.
My India? Show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Hi, I'm Don Shulman.
On Sunday, have fun with us. We talk about timely things, more informational.
We leave the politics to other shows.
I had the most amazing thing happen to me. I suddenly am 2 inches taller. I've lost 25 pounds. I can run around the block. And this morning, I discovered I could play the piano because I started listening to the Don Shulman Show.
Don Shulman.
Is there something wrong with him?
Clearly.
Every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon, right here on 1460 a.m. KCNR.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport, to the train station perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234 and we'll be there for you.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460 530-605-4567.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to our show today, Positively Healthy. And we're on the phone here with India Gage out of Chico with Mama Sattva Ghee. And are you still there, my dear?
I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so we're learning so much from you, as always. And, you know, I want to hear where you actually, where do you get your cream? And
yeah, well, I get it already made into cultured butter.
Okay.
Unsalted, all organic from Sierra Nevada Cheese Company out in Willows.
And did you say Willows?
So
okay, Willows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Willows, California.
Okay, and then you go get it at their dairy, and then you take it home, or?
Yeah, they have two organic dairies that they source from, and then they make the butter there. You know, it's a creamery, and so they culture it there, and they turn it into the butter, and really great, incredible butter. It's the best that I could find. I really did look around to see, you know, I wanted it to be very high fat content and high quality. It's double A grade, and it's 82% butter fat content. So it's very good, and that's part of the secret to the incredible ghee, is that we start with a really good product.
India, what is your website, and how would people get in touch with you or be able to buy your product?
Yeah, you can go online and buy it, and I can ship it out to you. It's mamasattva.com.
How do you spell that?
M-A-M-A, like the Spanish mama, and Sattva, S-A-T-T-V-A. Sattva means pure, light, uplifting, holy, harmonious, serene, of spiritual qualities. So S as in Sam, A, T as in Tom, two T's, V as in Victor, A, mamasattva.com.
And your website is so easy to follow, too. And so, but you also sell in Reading. I mean, where all do you sell in Reading?
Reading, you can find it at Orchard Nutrition, also at the Enjoy store, Enjoy the store. And then it's in Red Bluff, also at the Enjoy store. And we're out at the farmer's market on Saturday.
In Reading? You're at the Reading farmer's market? Okay.
Yes, we're at the Reading farmer's market right now.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. That's great.
Yeah. That's kind of new. We've been there about a month and a half, I guess.
Okay. And then tell us about your business model, because you pretty much have exceeded your goals for the year, right? I mean, you set some pretty high goals, and then you, like, blanc went right over the top. So tell us how business is going.
Well, it's going great. What I'm doing really is getting into the places I think that are going to first of all, just there's already sort of a niche market there where people know somewhat about ghee, because it is taking a lot of educating. And so I'm getting into stores, a lot of the co-ops. I started with the co-op, and then we're over in Grass Valley as well, and we're in Holiday Market. Not in the Reading one yet, though. That's to come down the road. And then we're setting up farmers markets sort of to educate, to be able to talk about it, to let people taste it, and then advertise it where they can get it during the week in the stores. That's kind of my model. So everywhere we go, then I'm also down in Santa Cruz, and we don't have a farmer's market going yet, but by the end of the, actually like fall season, I think we'll be out there going, and in Sacramento as well. It's in the SAC co-op. My biggest places for stores right now is Santa Cruz, actually. Even though it was kind of a leap for me to go down there, they know about ghee, and there's a lot of ghee eaters already. So when I set up and do my demos, I'd say 9 out of 10 people walk up going, oh, you make ghee.
Oh,
and
wow.
Here, it's like, what is ghee?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 9 out of 10 are saying, what is ghee? So
So I figured I should go first just to get it going.
That makes sense.
Like, you know,
yeah, right. Where they're already addicts, you know? So,
right, yeah.
What were you going to say, Mark?
Well, she sort of hit upon it, but what's the average response to people when they see the product? Are they just mystified? They have no reference for it?
Well, a lot of people say they've heard of it. A lot of people talk about their grandparents, grandmothers, you know, making it or eating it. And a lot of chefs already know about it, but then they don't know about the low temperature way of doing it, where everything is intact and it's way more nutritious than the drawn butter you're going to get at a restaurant for your lobster, you know, where they just flash clarify it. But everybody loves, for the most part, everybody absolutely loves the taste. And so as soon as I get them, you know, I sample it out on sourdough or gluten-free cracker, it's best on the sourdough bread. Then once they get in them, some people will kind of walk away pondering it, and a lot of people come back and be like, that was delicious. Like, it takes a couple seconds for it to resonate. I think how, you know, all the different flavors that pop out in the ghee.
How would you describe the taste then?
Well, the cultures, some people say, this tastes like kind of cheesy, which I don't get, but I know why they say that, and it's because of the cultures in there. It's sort of a sour culture. You know, that cultures are sour, I guess, in the butter that we begin with. So it flavors it, gives it that flavor. It's grainy in texture, which I also sometimes have to explain that signifies that it's a higher medicinal value when it's grainy like that. If you get ghee, and there are a lot of ghees out there that are smooth, and that means it's been heated too high, because you can't get the gritty, grainy texture if it's been overheated.
Oh, okay.
So that, and then some people say, oh, it tastes just like butter. Most people say, it tastes just like butter, but richer, you know, and I'd say, you know, 99 out of 100 people absolutely love it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how many employees you have, et cetera, what your plans are for the future, and then also I want to hear a little more about more of an Ayurvedic approach to, like, I know it's used as like an eye healing protocol, if I can speak, and there's more you can teach us about that. So we're going to take a quick break, and you're listening to Positively Healthy, and we'll be right back.
The Weston A. Price Foundation was created to put forth the research of Dr. Price, whose meticulous study of healthy cultures around the world has given us a foundation for traditional foods that promote vibrant health. The foundation is dedicated to restoring nutrient-dense foods to the human diet through education, research, and activism. The Weston A. Price Foundation supports organic and biodynamic farming, pasture feeding of livestock, community-supported farms, honest and informative labeling, and prepared parenting and nurturing therapies. You can join a local Weston A. Price chapter to attend monthly meetings and learn about these healing foods and practices. Creating community around healing foods is what Weston Price is all about. Check out their website, www.westonaprice.org. It's a virtual encyclopedia of information. Join the foundation and receive their stunning quarterly journal, Wise Traditions.
Pulse Urgent Care welcomes back Dr. Richard Musselman, joining Dr. Clayton Reinhardt, Dr. Seeger Beatty, and family nurse practitioner Deborah Wright in Pulse's newly expanded facility. Pulse doctors are available to serve you for any urgent care needs 7 days a week from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m. Flu shots are now available. Pulse Urgent Care is on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart. Call 722-1111 or visit pulseurgentcare.com. Medicare and private insurances are accepted. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Everyone here at Bastiani Arms wants you to know that we're proud to be your local gun shop. There's a special feeling running a small shop. It gives us a chance to spend more time with you, getting to know your needs, your shooting habits, helping us become the best shop we can for you. It also allows us to order just what we need. Keeping our overhead down means keeping our prices down, tailoring everything in the store for you, the customer. We'd like to remind you, it's never too early to learn gun safety, so bring the family down because we'd love to meet them. Bastiani Arms, Larkspur Lane, 222-8222. Join the revolution.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Slow down, you move too fast.
You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy. We're talking to India Gage and Chico. She's the owner of Mama Sattva Ghee. And welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to, before we move into other topics, I want to learn a little bit more about how people use ghee and what all they can cook in it and, how do you use it?
Well, I cook everything in it. It's my main cooking oil. So I cook a lot for my kids and they love all the, you know, high carby things like mac and cheese and pancakes and, but I do feel like it helps lessen the effects of the starchy foods. It does help break them down. So I'll put it in their mac and cheese, and I will fry. It's delicious with fried tortillas for making, like, quesadillas.
Oh.
And then I'll also put it in my rice, making the rice. But then after the rice is cooked, I will saute. I'll, you know, put it in my frying pan and get it crispy, which is delicious. And I'll pretty much start any sauce or soup I'm going to make. It'll start with ghee. And I'll just, vegetables, stir fry it in, drizzle it over. You know, use a really quality salt when you're cooking with it. Celtic sea salt or Himalayan sea salt also helps release the properties of the food. And combined, the ghee and salt are very grounding. So you can put it over popcorn. It's delicious over popcorn as well. With a quality salt, it doesn't have any water in it, so it's going to keep it super light. It doesn't make it soggy at all. So if you're a popcorn connoisseur, you got to try it with the ghee, and you can add nutritional yeast if you want to. Really yummy.
That sounds wonderful. So pretty
yeah,
much.
And then,
go ahead.
Oh, and then there's body treatments that people use ghee on their body. You can in India. There's traditional Ayurvedic therapies for putting it in the eye, and they'll make little dough dams around the eye. If you have any kind of eye problems, they'll fill it up with ghee and then let you open your eyes, and you'll just leave it open, and the ghee is very healing to the lining of the eye. And then they'll do it also over the heart or the small of the back, and they'll infuse herbs in there as well. The ghee is such an amazing transport vehicle. So, you know, it delivers any herbs that it's taken in with, any kind of nutrition, it delivers it very well into the body.
And then, so people, what I want them to sort of get today is that they can just replace whatever their cooking oil is with ghee, basically, right?
Yeah.
Straight across
yep.
the board, if it's going on the stovetop or in the
right.
oven.
Right. You can drizzle it over rice and pasta. And if you don't cook a lot, you can put a scoop in your oatmeal. You can, to take it medicinally, what I tell people is take a teaspoonful and just hold it in your mouth for 5 or 10 minutes. It's a great meditation, too, because you can't talk. Swish it around. It's incredible for building bones and teeth. And anything that, any kind of, you know, gums or tooth problem you have, that's going to help quite a bit.
And probably a lotion.
It around.
What does it cost?
I have 3 different sizes. The 7-ounce is $15. The 12-ounce is $24. And the 26-ounce, which is the best deal, is $41. And if you return your jars back to me, or you want to take them back into the store or out to the farmer's market, then the small jar, you get $3 back for the glass jar. $4 back for the medium, and $5 back for the large jar. So you're paying for the jar, and if you want to bring it back, then we are able to reuse them.
And it has
we like to get them back.
And it has a shelf life of months or something, right?
Yeah, endless shelf life. As long as you keep it out of direct sunlight and keep moisture out of it, you really want to make sure you're dipping in with a clean spoon and a dry spoon so you don't get any water in there. Water would make it go bad. Or crumbs, you know, so you just want to keep it all clean and sanitized.
That makes sense. And so if you could give your, as we close here, if you could give your website one more time and your contact info, if there's any additional.
My email is India, I-N-D-Y-A,
at mamasattva.com.
Okay.
And you can also phone in orders. You can call in an order to 530-680-6426. And if you just have questions for me, I'm happy to talk about ghee anytime.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show today, and we'll be talking
Thanks
to you really soon.
Me.
Yes, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. As the violence around the power play in Egypt seems to get worse, the emotion on both sides seems to grow stronger.
I'm a Muslim, but I'm certainly against what they are doing. They're trying to control us in a very bad way. Islam is not like that.
She was protesting in Cairo against the Muslim Brotherhood, but it's the protests involving its supporters where at least 65 people have been killed.
The top military commander, General al-Sisi, calling on the Muslim Brotherhood to remove themselves from the streets. He's even labeled them terrorists. And last night they did just that. Now, early this morning, the Egyptian military opened fire on pro-Muslim Brotherhood supporters. This is the second time the military has used deadly force to try to clear out pro-Morsi demonstrations, which have generally been pretty peaceful. In total, more than 100 people have been killed in the last month during this violence. Most have been Muslim Brotherhood supporters killed by the army.